And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're enjoying the day. Pretty nice weather my way. Hope it is for you too. Have a chance to get outside and maybe not even have to wear a mask. You know, you can go out, take a walk, look at some scenery, and not even have to feel like you can't breathe through this hunk of cloth stretched over your face. But that aside, hope you're enjoying your day. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting American Family Radio and all that we try to do for the Lord and for you. We do appreciate it. Please continue to pray for us. Don't forget, go to our website. Go to afa.net, actually, and you'll see there how you can be heard on the issue of the nomination and confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Because I think that is extremely important. She needs to be confirmed. She is precisely the kind of judge we need to have on the Supreme Court. And the American people have a right to be heard through your senators who will be voting on that nomination. So we don't want anything taken for granted. And we don't want her run through the ringer. We don't want her called everything but a child of God, which is exactly what Democrats love to do these days because they are God haters. You know, we need to create some new phrases. Instead of homophobe, we need to talk about Christophobe, because the Democrat Party and the left are Christophobes. They are fearful. They have a fearful hatred of Jesus Christ. That's right. I said it and I'll say it again. The left has a fearful hatred of Jesus Christ and all the people who love him and follow him. So we need to create a new phrase for the vocabulary. You know, they love to create these new words and then try to hang them over our necks and make everybody feel guilty. And instead of Islamophobe, we need to add Biblophobe. Biblophobe, that these people hate the Bible. They'll embrace just about anything else, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the I Ching, the whatever, the anything else will do, but oh, that Bible. So these people are Biblophobes. And frankly, I'm tired of hearing from the Christophobes and the Biblophobes. It's about time we heard from Christians and Bibliophiles, people who love the Bible, love the Word of God, believe the Word of God is true. And of course, I'm sure that you watched the debate last night. Well, maybe I'm not so sure, but I watched it from the opening bell to the closing bell. I was right there. And let me just say, folks, so that nobody is mistaken about where I stand on this. And I consider myself to be an objective observer. I mean, I consider myself to be a fair person. I watched the debate, and I am absolutely convinced that President Trump won the debate. Absolutely convinced that he won. And he said, well, now, wait a minute. Why are you so convinced? Because if you listen to all the pundits, oh, it was a terrible debate. Oh, and it was just, it was a mess. It was terrible. The president kept interrupting. Let me tell you why he won. And in my view, he won hands down. It's not even close. And anybody who tells Joe Biden he won is lying to him. First of all, the president won because the president faced down not one opponent, but two. That's right. He had to face down not only Joe Biden, he had to face down Chris Wallace as well. And as far as I'm concerned, Chris Wallace needs to just stop trying to act like he's an unbiased reporter and everybody praises him. Oh, you're Chris Wallace. Well, he's the best interviewer. I mean, Chris Wallace actually took Joe Biden's side throughout that debate, as far as I'm concerned, because he chided the president. And by the way, if you want to see my comments throughout the debate, you can go on my Facebook page and you'll see that I was watching and making my remarks on Facebook throughout the debate. But he chided the president for interrupting Joe Biden. But he never once chided Joe Biden for calling the president names. You know, he could have said, it would have been perfectly within his purview to say, now Mr. Biden, we're here to debate, and the name calling, I'm hoping, is something that we will not degenerate into. Never said a word. And Biden almost right out of the box called the president a liar. Now, here's a guy who's plagiarized speeches. Here's a guy who says he's graduated from a college that he didn't graduate from. I mean, this is a person, and I really believe that he's flat out lying about this whole situation with his son in China, because I think he was in on that deal from the very beginning. You know, one of those wink, wink, nod, nod, don't tell me anything because I want plausible deniability. Now, he and his son are apparently close. You can't tell me that his son walked away with a $1.5 billion deal and Biden knew nothing about it. I mean, come on. That doesn't just strain credulity. That is completely and totally beyond any reality that anybody ever knows or lives in. Come on. What happened? Oh, nothing, Dad. No, not nothing. No, yeah, everything's fine. I just had a talk. And you walk away with a $1.5 billion investment. Give me a break. He couldn't even contain himself. I'm sure as soon as he saw his father, his first thing, hey, guess what? I signed a deal with China. Keep it to yourself for now, son. This might not be the time, but yeah, good. You signed the deal. Excellent. Now, of course, I'm just speculating a little bit, but I'm speculating on the basis of quite a few years of life. I mean, we know how life works. Come on. He's close to these boys. He knows what his son is doing. And then he's got the nerve to call the president a liar. Not just say, Mr. President, you lied about this. Or Mr. President, when you said this, this was not true. And then citing facts. Here's what you said, Mr. President. Here's what we know. No, he didn't. He just flat out called him a liar. And then called him a clown. You're a clown. I mean, can you imagine? And folks, I mean this sincerely. If I were debating Barack Obama when he was president, I would never have done that. I just would not have done that. I mean, I certainly had no use for Obama's views and policies at all. But I would never have disrespected him that way by calling him names, calling him a clown. And when I even not being on that level, I've said things when he was president and got, and the press just jumped all over me. I said one time in an interview, I thought the idea that Barack Obama's a Christian is laughable. Oh my goodness, you'd have thought I'd called him out of his, you thought I said something vulgar. Who does he do? You, how dare you? You're questioning his Christianity. And well, because Jesus said, by their fruit shall you know them. And I don't see any fruit at all. The most pro-abortion president we've ever had, where's the fruit? But I got jumped on big time for that. And Biden stands in front of the president's face and calls him a liar and then calls him a clown. And then, get this, has the nerve to tell the president, man, why don't you shut up, man? Why don't you shut up, man? I mean, really? That is so classless. And in spite of the fact that the president, yes, he did interrupt him, but he needed to interrupt him in my view. But in spite of that, the president never rose to any of that bait. It says something to me about the stature of President Trump, because frankly, folks, if somebody called me a liar, that's getting on my wrong side. The president never rose to it. He called him a clown, never rose to it. Told him to shut up, never rose to it. The president just kept hammering away his points. He won absolutely going away with it. And I'll hear your views when we get back.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Radical students and professors on college campuses claim that their schools participate in systemic racism. In order to appease these radicals, college presidents have been all too willing to agree with the charge with a promise to end systemic racism. But words have meaning. They also have consequences, as Princeton University is now discovering. The president of Princeton published an open letter promising to combat systemic racism at the school in an attempt to mollify progressive students and faculty. The letter caught the eye of the Assistant Secretary of Education. Robert King wrote to the president requesting records related to his confession of bias. King cited the president's letter that said that racist assumptions are embedded in the structure of the university itself. Now, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 stipulates that no one, on the basis of race, should be excluded from participation in, denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Each year, colleges must actually certify with the Department of Education that no discrimination has taken place. Essentially, the Department of Education is asking this question. Which is it? Are you just saying that there is systemic racism but don't really mean it? Or has discrimination taken place? If so, the university will be fined and have to forfeit federal funds. You know, we've all heard the phrase, talk is cheap. Phrases like systemic racism and white privilege are tossed around indiscriminately. The president of Princeton University is about to find out that there could be a heavy price to pay for making such comments. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. Last night's debate was more of a cage fight than a debate, but it was entertaining, if not especially useful. Biden advisors are urging Biden to pull out of the debates altogether, a sign that they think their guy lost, even though Chris Wallace was clearly on his team. We'll open the phone lines today. I want to hear your thoughts on the debate. That and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So, folks, in spite of what the pundits are saying and the prognosticators, Donald Trump won that debate hands down. And here again, part of his victory was the fact that he had the victory over Chris Wallace as well as over Joe Biden. You remember, there, if you saw it, there was an interaction in which Chris Wallace was telling the president, Mr. President, you have to stop interrupting. You have to stop interrupting. He said, well, look, he's interrupting me too. Yeah, but you're doing it more. Really? Oh, okay. So you only correct and rebuke the person who is doing it the most. And you, of course, have calculated exactly who is doing it the most so that you know. You've got your trusty interrupter calculator right there hidden in your lap, and you're looking down on it, and it says that the president has interrupted 73.6% of the time, and Joe Biden has interrupted only 71.2% of the time, and therefore you are going to rebuke the president because he's doing it more. Really, I just shook my head when I saw that. I thought, you know, Chris Wallace has really just lost all credibility as far as I'm concerned. He really has. I think he doesn't like President Trump. I think he doesn't want President Trump to win. And I think he simply can't hide it. He tries to, but he can't. I think he really doesn't like him. He doesn't agree with him. When Chris Wallace asked the question on climate change? And the president gave him an answer, and it is the right answer. We believe in clean air. We believe in clean water. We don't want to destroy our environment, but we're not running around like apocalyptic nutcases who are looking to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as a little mini messiah to save us all from the, we've only got 11 years. We've only got 11 years, 11 years, and the planet will be destroyed. We've got to do something. So we're going to do away with fossil fuels, folks. Can I just a dose of reality? Maybe in the kingdom of God, there won't be, it will be so different that we can't even imagine whether there's even going to be a need for fuel the way we understand it now. But we're not in the kingdom of God right now. We're not in eternity right now. You understand? We're not. All sin and death and hell has not yet been put down. It is still a reality in our world, and we are still living in a fallen world, a world that has not been cleaned up. And in this world, until Jesus comes at least, we're going to be using fossil fuels. And anybody who tells you differently is off their rocker. And anybody who tells you that they're going to get rid of fossil fuels and it's going to be cost effective is lying to you. We're not getting rid of fossil fuels. I really believe God put them there for us so that we could heat our homes, run our cars, operate our machinery. It is the most efficient source of fuel ever discovered. We need to remind people, we tried wind, right? Yeah, we tried wind. We tried water. We tried fire. And they can have their place, right? They can have their place. You know, and if I say fire, I mean, you know, wood burning and this sort of thing. Oh, and we tried the sun, right? We went to fossil fuels because none of those mechanisms for fuel proved efficient. When the sun doesn't shine, you get no heat. That is when the clouds are blocking the shining of the sun. When the wind doesn't blow, you get no energy. Now, we need to just, this idea, can you see the whole country dotted with these gigantic windmills all over the place? This is what the left thinks is somehow an improvement. These gigantic windmill wings that kill birds and destroy the horizon. I mean, just destroy it. Just make it look like some kind of dystopian world of gigantic robots dotting the landscape. That's their answer. These people are just off. And of course, the president's being criticized for that. He's being criticized for having pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. Good. Because the reality is, folks, America could go back to trying to live like Adam and Eve, and it wouldn't have not one dot of impact on the environment, because China and India are spewing out carbon at an absolutely alarming rate. Because they're not concerned about any of these things. They're trying to industrialize. They're trying to build their economies. They're trying to come into the modern world. And they know that if they start playing around with these leftist ideas, these communists who are leftists, of course, but if they start playing around with these leftist climate ideas, they will set their countries back who knows how long, and they're not going to do it. But America's supposed to do it. We're supposed to punish our people with it. No, thank you. And so the president, I think he just won hands down on that, because Biden has only got two choices, right? It's a binary choice. Either the reasonable approach of President Trump and most common sense Americans, or AOC. The world is about to end. Our hair is on fire, and we need to spend $60 trillion in order to save the planet. And these people don't realize, what are you going to do? Go to war with China and India? I mean, what are you going to do with countries like that? that are not going to adhere to this? Oh, what are we going to do? Pay them? We're going to sustain their economies while we require that they do this to save us all. I mean, it's just such silliness. But then, of course, anybody who listens to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for real wisdom and insight and accuracy and common sense, you need your discerner recalibrated. She's a person that you listen to mock. I'm serious. You know, because look, all she is a pretty face that the left loves to put on television. That's all. And I don't mean any disrespect in any way to women. She's just, that's all, but that's all she is. That's all. I mean, the things she says don't make a bit of sense. And here again, I don't say that. That's not because she's a woman. That's just because she's who she is. Because we know there are lots of bright, capable women on television who also have, some of them also have to have very pretty faces. That's not the point. let me get away from that. But you get my point. I think this is all just totally superficial. And Joe Biden just got blown out of the water because he didn't want to side with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But he what else is he going to do? Because she's got the pulse beat. And she's got the heartbeat of the Democrat Party now. He said, I am the Democrat Party. Sorry, no, you're not. No, you're not. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, they're the heartbeat of the party now. All these far-left crazies are the heartbeat of the party. They control the party. Nancy Pelosi. They control the party. The San Francisco leftist. So at any rate, so he won that hands down. And he also won this. Look, folks, and I want to take your calls. 888-589-8840, because I want to know what your take on it is. And some of you may have a different take. I'm happy to hear that. I'm serious. I don't think this debate is going to determine the outcome of the election. I think it's interesting to talk about. But it does provide a contrast, because the other thing is, did you hear this one? Antifa is not an organization. It's an idea. Now, see, folks, giving somebody with that little knowledge and awareness of what is going on in our country and the world is like putting a six-year-old in front of an eight-cylinder automobile with a stick to push down on the gas. And you just don't know what happens from there. And you're not going to do that because you know that that's going to lead to disaster. All right? And if you are that unaware, folks, Antifa is a very, very well-defined organization with an international network. International network. They didn't start here in America. They started in Europe. But the earliest establishment of an Antifa organization happened in 2007 in Portland, Oregon. Isn't it interesting that Portland, Oregon has been the most consistent place of violence and rioting and looting? That's the base. That's where Antifa started in America. And Joe Biden said it's not an organization, it's an idea. And he wants the president to get all worked up about so-called white supremacists and right-wing whatever, who, frankly, they're not, look, and I'm against that, I understand that, but they're not the ones who are tearing up our cities across the country. It's these Antifa and Black Lives Matter activists. Back in a moment to take your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
It was the middle of winter, the year 1916. Glenn and Floyd Cunningham were, as usual, the first to arrive at the little Kansas schoolhouse. They began their routine of building a fire. Neither knew that the night before, the Ladies' Literary Society had met in the school and that somehow gasoline for the lanterns had gotten mixed with kerosene for the stove. The result was an explosion that engulfed the boys in flame. Somehow they made their way home. Floyd soon died. Glenn managed to live, but the doctor gave a gloomy report. Glenn may never walk again. 7-year-old Glenn Cunningham heard the doctor's words, and he made a vow. He would walk again. "Doc, I don't want to sit," said Glenn. "I want to walk and run, and I will." Well, for the next 6 months, Glenn and his mother worked for hours each day, massaging the legs. At the end of 6 months, Glenn was walking. 2 years later, he was running, not fast, but running. When Glenn was 12, he entered his first mile race and won. It was the beginning of a career that was to bring Glenn Cunningham fame and satisfaction. Glenn continued to run and continued to win. He worked his way through the University of Kansas. In college, the intercollegiate records began to fall beneath his driving legs. Legs that weren't supposed to walk. In 1933, he was awarded the James E. Sullivan Award as the amateur athlete who had done the most to advance sportsmanship. In 1936, he earned his master's degree from the State University of Iowa. At the Olympics in Berlin that summer, Cunningham broke the Olympic record for 1,500 meters, despite the fact that he finished second. Then at Dartmouth College in 1938, Glenn reached the summit. He ran the indoor mile in 4 minutes, 4.4 seconds, a new world record. The boy who may never walk again had become the world's fastest indoor miler. Glenn Cunningham knew there was more to life than running. Soon it was Dr. Glenn Cunningham. He and his wife, Ruth, returned to their Kansas ranch, 840 acres he had bought with his savings. Having a love and reverence for life and believing that each person could make a go of it if given a fair shake, Glenn set forth to aid youth. After a speech in 1947 at a church, the minister asked to speak with Glenn in private. "There's a boy here in desperate need," the minister said. "Billy is apathetic, completely wrapped up in a shell nobody can pierce. Can you help?" That was the first of more than 8,000 youths that Glenn and Ruth took in. It meant they would lose their ranch. It meant hardships and heartaches. But the same determination, the same patience, the same strong belief that had made Glenn a winner at running made him a winner at providing for his youth. Glenn once said that God has granted Ruth and me 8,000 miracles, and we are humbly grateful. When you think about it, that's not so unusual. Miracles always come when one has faith, hope, love, and dedication. Glenn Cunningham is real proof of that.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Oh, there's so much to talk about in this debate. You know, one of the other things, and I want to come to your calls, the president really pushed Biden very, very hard on his relationship with the left and basically trapped him. He didn't know what to do with it. Because he knows he's made promises to them. He knows he's beholden to them. In fact, I think in many ways he agrees with them. But he also knows he can't win if the American people think he's a pseudo-communist, which is what they think of AOC. They know that about Bernie Sanders and a lot of these other folks. And the president pushed him very, very hard on that. And the president at one point said, "You've just lost the left." And I think he's right. I think that the left is going to be demoralized if considering that Joe Biden is supposed to be their banner carrier And in the debate, he was not even willing to raise the banner. And of course, the left is just saying President Trump did this wrong and President Trump did that wrong. As far as I'm concerned, President Trump did exactly what he needed to do dealing with somebody like Joe Biden. I think he did exactly what he needed to do. Look, there are a lot of issues we could discuss today, but I think this is the one that's in the forefront. Oh, that's right. And that's the only other thing. And then I'm going to come to your calls. I think he nailed Joe Biden on wanting to shut down the economy. I think he nailed him on it. Because, folks, we've had enough. We've had enough. And Joe Biden wants to order everybody to wear a mask. And he wants to, yes, I'd shut the economy down. He said it. And yet when the president stopped travel from China, Joe Biden called him a xenophobe and a racist. I mean, the man is completely incompetent. And as difficult a time as we've had with this COVID communist Chinese Wuhan virus, I am convinced that if Joe Biden had been president, we might be facing a disaster from which this country could not recover for a generation. And I'm serious about that. Because I think he would have tried to shut the economy down. I think he would have done whatever China told him to do, because I think they bought him and his family lock, stock, and barrel. And they're the ones who gave us this thing. So I think the president just absolutely nailed him on that. Look, life is not without risk. It wasn't before COVID. It won't be afterwards. At some point, we have to get on with our lives. At some point, we have to live, right? And there are diseases out there. There are bad things out there that we all need to do our very best to avoid, of course. But we can't stop living. We can't shut down our businesses. We can't shut down our lives. We can't hide in a corner somewhere. We can't dig a hole in the basement like Biden has done and go hide in a hole somewhere and stay there hoping not to get out among people and run the risk of actually contracting this thing. Well, you could get, not speaking this over you all, of course, but I mean, people get killed in automobile accidents every day. People die of accidents in their home every day. Not to mention the suicides, the depressions, the drug use, the domestic issues that result in people being out of work and stuck at home and all of this stuff. I mean, these leftists, though, they're so in love with control that they just relish the idea of giving people orders. They really do. And thank God this president does not. And he's never given an order or a mandate to the American people. He said, here's what I think needs to happen. God bless him for it, with these dictatorial little would-be Napoleonic tyrants running around thinking that they can speak and the whole world supposed to bow. So, all right, 888-589-8840. I enjoyed the debate myself. I did. I wasn't sure I would, but I did. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Becky in Tennessee. Becky, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Blessings to you, my brother.
Thank you. Same to you.
I just wanted to call and say, last night during the debate, I was offended. I was made angry by the way a supposed professional spoke to a sitting president in such a disrespectful manner. My husband and I have been pastors for almost 40 years, and we had to turn it off because we were becoming angry at the manner in which he was speaking to the president. Just so disrespectful, telling him to shut up. I used to whip my babies over that, but I know you're busy and you want to get to other folks, but I just want to say this. Having been a pastor for 40 years, we have never seen a cultural climate, and of course we know Jesus is coming back. Thank you, Lord. But amen. I want to call upon other pastors to man up and begin to speak truth from your pulpit, and quit trying to be politically correct or whatever you think you need to say or not say, and speak the truth about our nation and about the fact that the good Lord is crying right now. And we need to do warfare on our knees, praying and speaking to our flocks about the lies that the left is perpetrating upon our beautiful country. And that's really all I have to say. Right. Blessings. Well, I listen to you every day, praying for you,
Becky.
My brother.
Thank you. God bless you, my sister. And look, you, Becky, you said a lot. You said a lot. And I could not agree with you more. I said this, folks. I would not have, if I'd been debating Barack Obama and I had no use for Barack Obama or his policies, I would never have talked to him that way. I just wouldn't have done it. It just, to me, it's just so inappropriate. And yet, you know what's interesting? We're saying this, but I have not heard pundits say it at all. I'm very few, let's put it that way. Maybe there's some out there who have, but they're just basically talking about the president interrupting him. Not, I mean, you call the sitting president of the United States a clown, and you say, shut up, man. Oh, shut up, man. Believe me, Becky, that I could not believe he was doing it. But here again, you know what it proves? Joe Biden is classless, in addition to a whole bunch of other stuff that he's got to deal with. Let's go to Pamela in North Carolina. Pamela, welcome.
Hello.
Pamela, you are on.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to thank you for what you do and the heart that you have for the Lord and truth to begin with. And I had a thought on, I'm not prophesizing, but I believe that either way, if they, if the Democrats win or lose, Nancy Pelosi is on her way out. So that may be a blessing. And also,
it would be. it would be.
And my thought in regards to Joe Biden claiming, now, if we take him at his word that he didn't know that his son's dealings with all these other countries, then to me, in my mind, that's even worse because he's supposed to be, you know, running for the highest office in the land. And if he doesn't know what's going on in his own family, then, I don't get that.
And Pamela, I think you and I both know, if we really believe that, there's a bridge in Brooklyn that we could sell anybody who's interested. Send the $1 million right here. We'll be happy to deed it over to you. I mean, look, nobody believes that your son flies to China with you on Air Force One, makes a $1.5 billion deal, flies back with you on Air Force Two, and you don't know anything about what he did while he was in China. Really? Oh, okay, sure. We all believe that, don't we? Okay, folks, 888-589-8840. We'll be back to take more of your calls.
We have always made the case that Christ is over culture, that Christ is over ethnicity. I am a Christian before I'm anything else. I say that to anybody, in anybody's face, in anybody's post, all right? I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is the only source of salvation that people have. It's not going to be in my blackness.
That's right.
You can't get saved because... Okay, let me take down.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
That one of the greatest attacks in America was an attack perpetrated by our very own Supreme Court. That was the legalization of abortion. Now, subsequent to that, there have been 70 million babies slaughtered in the wombs of their mothers. That is more than the entire population of Canada and Australia combined.
Kevin Sorbo of the hit films God's Not Dead and Let There Be Light supports life.
I wanted to invite you to offer your full support for the ministry of Preborn and its leader, Dan Steiner. The team at Preborn is very focused and very successful at saving preborn babies from abortion.
Join Kevin Sorbo and Preborn in standing for life. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can help save five babies' lives. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com.
Nowhere does God's control negate, eliminate, remove, trivialize human action.
John Stone Street on Focus on the Family Minute.
Humans are still responsible for what they do and what they choose not to do. And I would only add that underneath all of this is a question for every follower of Christ. And that is, do we believe that Christianity is actually true? Not just true for me and maybe not for you, but literally the best description of the contours of reality itself. Because if we do, then voting and coming down on certain sides when it comes to policy issues and how best to structure education or international relations, what to do with issues like abortion and marriage and religious freedoms and so on and so on and so on, this is like dealing with gravity. And to deny this is going to have brutal consequences for individuals and for our nation.
Hear more from John at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, Biden did you all hear him say that he was going to do away with coal and oil? Yeah. Good luck with that. And I don't believe in luck. but yeah, good luck with that. You do away with coal and oil. These people have, and see, he here again, that's his little homage to AOC. Hey, AOC, I'm with you. I am with you. So don't be mad at me. Make sure your troops, your they call them a black bloc. And it's not a racial reference. It's a reference to Antifa people dressing up in all black and showing up at protests. In fact, I saw a picture of them today. I think this happened recently where you can see them all dressed in black helmets, black masks, black boots, black clothes. They call it a black bloc. And that's to make it harder to identify them after they engage in violence, harder to know which one of them has done something. Yeah, nice group of people. But that's who Joe Biden is pandering to, AOC and her militant crazies out there who are busy trying to destabilize and destroy the greatest constitutional republic in the history of mankind. Well, guess what, folks? We're not going to let them do it. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Corey in Indiana. Corey, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I called with a couple of things from last night's debate that I observed. First thing, and both of these kind of play into what you've already talked about, but the first thing I observed was when Chris Wallace asked President Trump about the forest fires in California, I noticed that he did not turn and ask the question to Joe Biden about the rolling blackouts in California and how that would play into getting rid of coal specifically. And so that was one thing that was just bizarre to me. What are your thoughts on?
Well, you know, the president addressed, they've got these draconian rules. I remember years ago, a friend of mine told me that they basically ended up causing his house to burn down because there's this thing called the titmouse was protected and it used the brush around his house. And he said it would have been easy for me to clear out the brush around my house so that you basically create a little bit of a firewall in case of a fire. But the state, you can't do that. You got to protect the titmouse. I'm not making it up, folks. Yeah, you got to protect the titmouse. So they engage in all of these crazy policies that then lead to these terrible tragedies. And they think somehow that they're doing something because they've got this weird, bizarre moral code that they made up themselves that doesn't make a bit of sense and doesn't in the end help anybody. But they pat themselves on the back, break their arms, patting themselves on the back for how great they are. But this is the kind of stuff they do. And the president was saying, you know, you need deforestation. You've got to remove these dead, rotting logs. You've got to get out there and clean up some of this stuff that is nothing but a kindling for fires when they happen. But of course, no, they're too busy protecting the environment and saving the planet. So that's what we've got. Corey, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Sherry in North Carolina. Sherry, welcome.
Hey, Bishop.
Hey.
The debate last night was exactly what I expected would happen. Donald Trump ended up debating Chris Wallace, as well as Joe Biden. And I don't think anyone could have been any more disrespectful than Mike Wallace. But that's what I expect, and that's what I've come to expect from Fox. And I used to watch it all the time. But truthfully, I've just about decided that Fox is leaning so far to the left that it's not really watchable anymore, particularly when on Sundays. A few minutes of Fox of the morning is about all I can handle. And when I want the truth, I turn on AFR.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. We will continue to be a reliable place for you to get the truth. And look, I share your concern. I used to watch Bret Baier. I used to watch Chris Wallace, and I thought that they were fair. I wasn't looking for them to be pro-conservative or pro-liberal, just looking for them to be fair, and I thought that they were. But something has happened. There's no question about that. You sense it. Something has happened. But when they hired Donna Brazile, that told me all I needed to know. Because if you're hiring someone who has been disgraced for having cheated in a presidential debate situation, I mean, and that's where the balance of the country hangs in the balance, and you're cheating to try to help someone win. And yet, who knows how much money they're paying her to be a pundit on Fox? It's disgraceful. So, yeah, you're right. Something has gone terribly wrong. But Sherry, we will be here for you as the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Thank you for the call, Sherry. Let's go to Wiley in Mississippi. Wiley, welcome.
Hello. Bishop, I just wanted to comment, you know, concerning the climate change and the global warming. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, after the flood, God had told Noah, he said, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So kind of like you said the other day, you got two kinds of people, believers and non-believers. So, you know, there's no global warming, I don't think. And, of course, in Revelations, God said that he was going to scorch man with fever and heat. So when it does begin to get hot and the climate's changing, it's not going to be what man's doing, but it's going to be what God's doing. It's all in his charge.
Amen. Well, I say our problem is not global warming. It's moral cooling. That's the real danger to the environment. And the one who's going to come and set the environment straight is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And in the meantime, in terms of the earth ending as a result of climate change, I mean, these people have got to have, they've got to have a kind of theology. And since it's not the Bible, it's evolution, it's climate change. And of course, then they come up with their messiahs. It's a Barack Obama, or it's an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or whatever. But they're basically trying to fill the vacuum in their hearts that only God can fill. That, and so, yeah, you're absolutely right. The Bible's got the answers for us, but those are the answers that they don't want because they want to be their own gods. But thank you for the call. Folks, I've got a few minutes, 888-589-8840. I can probably get another call or two in. I do have some lines filled, but If you want to try to squeeze in, I think I may be able to get you in. Let's keep going, though, with James in Oklahoma. James, welcome.
Hello. How you doing, Bishop?
Doing great, James. How are you?
Oh, great. Listen, I'd just like to say right quick that I love you and respect you very, very much as a biblical, you know, I think, genius. But anyway, what I would like to say
that's nice of you.
And kind of waiting, I mean, I waiting for somebody to say, and I hadn't heard it yet, but I just do not understand how they can come out and say that this is a racist country. You know, before Obama got in there, I thought race, well, I know race relations were at an all-time high of being good, you know. But anyway, how many, I'm going to say foolish white people, did it take to put Barack Obama in office twice? I mean, is that systemic racism?
Well, listen, you know, that's an interesting way of putting it, James. I will tell you this. I did meet Americans of European ancestry and descent who said to me, well, I just thought it was time. I'm serious. I just thought it was time. And I said, look, I understand that sentiment. That will happen in due time. But the more important question is, who is going to be the next president? Not whether it's time for a president of a particular ethnic background or skin color. My goodness gracious. I mean, you're putting the fate of the American people in the country into the hands of a person simply because it's time to have a black president. So, look, I think there probably are a lot of people across all racial and cultural backgrounds who were thinking that way and weren't examining where the man stood at all, just kind of going along because, well, it's time. No, I don't think it's time for a woman president or a black president or an Asian president. I think it's time for the right person to serve as president, regardless of that person's ethnicity or gender. So thanks for the call, James. Look, you put it an interesting way, and I'll let what you said rest on its own. Let's see. You've been very patient. Let's go to Cassie in Texas. Cassie, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
I appreciate what you do. Thank
you.
God for you. Just as a tail end on what that last caller said, I'm just going to throw this out before I make my main comment. President Obama, not president, but Obama, he I don't feel he even loved this country. And he fooled a lot of people. And not only that, I think his main ambition was to be able to be called the first black president. Does anybody not remember he's got just as much white in him as he does black? I don't think he should even be called that. I think that's offensive. It's offensive to call him that because it's not true. The other thing I wanted to regarding the...
Make it quick, Cassie, because I'm going to hear bumper music soon. So make it quick.
Oh, okay. Chris Wallace, I thought like that other callers. It was very disrespectful. I mean, first of all, how Biden talked about our president, but not only him, but Chris Wallace. And I think that all the men of our country need to take a close look at not being jealous of this man. I think they're jealous.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Cassie. That's going to do it. I've said myself that I think one of the problems that the left has with President Trump is that he's simply a little bit too manly for them. And, you know, they don't like that. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. Please tune in again tomorrow. Remember, in the meantime, that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.